Hey everyone. So I have been slammed with email since doing a couple of new videos and put them up on that I've put up on YouTube, which if you haven't seen them, head on over there and take a look. I'm going to be doing more in the coming days or weeks. But I've gone through a handful of these emails and I just want to read a few of them to you. A couple of them aren't really questions. They're just comments, and then a couple of them are questions. So I pulled out the ones that I thought you guys would might like to hear. This one's from Gina. Thank you, quitting my job. That's in the subject line, which I love. Hi, Suzanne. I work full time. I'm a mother of four, and I've always been torn about working while my kids are little. Since I heard you on Alex Cooper's show, it just really pushed my husband and me to see if I could quit my job making almost six figures. I have a side business as well, so I have a little money coming in from that. And we decided we could make it work if we are frugal. I am so excited to get my kids out of daycare and transition into a full-time mom with a side business. Thank you. Keep on doing what you're doing. Those are my favorite ones to hear. And I heard from a whole bunch of people who are pulling their kids out of daycare, and nothing warms my heart more than hearing from those folks, especially the ones who put pen to paper and realized, oh wow, we really can do this. And I just need a push because everybody around me is doing it. So it just sometimes you're just going through life on autopilot and you just almost need it's permission isn't the right word. Feels like permission, you know, but it's really more like it's just support and just even a voice that is saying something from everything you're hearing. It takes hearing that to just jar you into action, especially if you've been feeling it yourself. So that's kind of why I do what I do. I think that's been probably the common theme that I hear over and over is that it's not that I'm saying something profound. It's that I'm saying something that nobody will say. That's really what it comes down to, and that the people are feeling and thinking. And so it's just corroborating that, and that's what propels them to act, which is fabulous because that's what I want. This one's from Ashley. Dear Suzanne, I recently stumbled across your channel, and I believe it was a sign from above because the day before I was feeling really guilty about, quote, just being a stay-at-home mom and not having an amazing career simultaneously. It was as if your video was sent to me to calm my anxiety. After listening to your first video about daycare, I've been hooked. I finally feel validated and not guilty about just being a mom. The funny thing is, and this is my favorite part, and this is not the first time I've heard this. The funny thing is that I'm not a conservative, yet I agree wholeheartedly with what I've heard on your channel so far about motherhood, chivalry, etc. Although I'm from the US, I have not lived in the States for over a decade since I met my spouse abroad, so I'm glad I can access your material from abroad. Thank you for all you do and confirming that I should not feel guilty for not doing it all. Hugs to you and your team. Love that, love that, love that. I have said over and over that this, my issue, quote unquote, my issue, you know, the work and family thing is not surprisingly, for some people, surprisingly, it's not a partisan issue. There's plenty of liberal stay-at-home moms and conservative, quote unquote, you know, whatever the opposite of that is. I don't even like stay-at-home moms. You know, I don't like that phrase either. There's moms who are not employed and there's moms who are employed. Please stop saying, do you work? To moms, it's just a really short-sighted, really ignorant phrase. Because if you understood what's involved, you wouldn't ask if they work. What you mean is, are they employed? That's a much better way of phrasing it. Yeah, it's just not a political issue. It's a value issue and an understanding of what children need and a willingness to think independently and not have to be following the crowd, you know, which can be super hard to do, you know, in any era, but especially these days. This one's from Erica. This one is a question about daycare slash preschool. And by the way, those two things should not be mixed because they are not the same. Hi, I just found your video. Will America ever be ready for the truth about daycare? I really enjoyed watching and learning. What does the research say about starting preschool? When is a good time for children to begin education outside of the home in a typical school setting, Monday through Friday, 8 to 3, for example? So I thought I'd use this to put out there these very specific details, because I get this question a lot. The short answer to her question about Monday through Friday, 8 to 3, is first grade. That's the short answer. And it's, of course, it sounds so shocking today, right? Because that seems so old at age 6. but technically, that is why, historically, children did not go to school until 8 to 3, till they were 6, because that was when they were ready for that environment. Now, that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with sending, first of all, then there's kindergarten. And then the reason I personally am a big fan of half-day kindergarten, which I realize is probably going the way of the whatever. I mean, by the time my kids were in kindergarten, there was still half-day available. I don't even know if it is anymore. But the reason for that had a lot more to do with how tired they get still at age 5. And it's exhausting for them to be in full day, in my opinion, and from what I've seen. And so, I mean, it's just really evident, actually. It's kind of obvious when you're receiving an all-day kindergartner from a half day, because some of them still nap. And even if they don't, they get overstimulated and they're more difficult to deal with if they have that much stimulation at that age. So it's not so much, is it bad? Are you harming them? It's more like, what do you want your environment at home to be like? At least that's what it was for me. You know, anything I could do to cut back on tantrums, I was going to do. So anything that could be peaceful and calm, I highly recommend. So that was my reason for doing half day kindergarten. Prior to kindergarten, you're talking about preschool. No child needs to be in there's no rule about needing to be in preschool for the sake of the child in terms of their education per se. It's a fine thing to do at age 4 for a couple hours a day, a couple days a week. If you don't do it, that is perfectly fine too. So there's no really hard and fast rule. The best way to understand what is not good is to really recognize that the number of hours and how many days a week matter based on age. And so home as much as possible in the first 3.5 years. If you want to do preschool a few hours, a few days a week, that's fine. You don't have to do it. It's not going to hurt them if you don't do it. But again, it's that a couple of hours, a couple of days a week, not, you know, 8 to 3 Monday through Friday, which is what she was asking. That comes much, much later. So I hope that's helpful. Let's see. I think this is sort of the same thing. Hi, Suzanne. I'm a stay-at-home mom. My little one is 18 months and attending preschool 2 days a week for 5 hours at a time. Do you have any particular opinion or immediate reaction to that? Yeah, I do. 18 months is not in preschool. So it's super important that people use the proper terminology. If you have a 18-month-old, that is daycare. That's not preschool, and they don't need to be in any school environment, period. And 5 hours is a ridiculously long time for an 18-month-old. People don't understand about time and how it works for a baby. It's not like you and me in the way we feel. For us, like, a day is nothing. A year is nothing. Everything goes so fast. That's not the way it is for them. An hour is a lifetime. They have no concept of time at this age. So 5 hours is way, way, way too long. And basically, you shouldn't be away from your 18-month-old, your 18-month-old should not be in any group care, period, for any amount of time, much less 5 hours. So I think my previous answer about preschool and just my previous answer answers this one as well. I'm also wondering what your view is on the amount of time a father should try and spend with a child in the early years. That will also help with creating a strong bond and connection. I think fathers should be very involved. I can't imagine. I don't know any fathers, honestly, in my circle, in my world, who weren't involved. It's just because you're working outside the home as a father doesn't mean that you automatically, that whole concept of putting your feet up and not doing anything when you get home, that was like I don't even think that was ever really real. honestly, to the degree at least that it was portrayed in the media. But no, of course, fathers should be involved when they're not at work. They have children. That's why they had them. That's why they have a family. If you don't want to do anything outside of your work as a man, then don't get married and have a family, because that's what you're taking on in addition to your work if you get married. Okay, and then this last one, wait a minute, hold on. Well, there's actually two more. No, I'm just going to read this one about, this is about a relationship, actually. Please, okay, she doesn't want her name. Well, I'm not using names on here. I'm in my mid-20s. I've been married coming up on 2 years. I've been binging your show on YouTube, which has helped me solidify my decision to become a stay-at-home mom. My original plan was to step back or temporarily drop out of the workforce when we have kids and him be the sole financial provider, a position he was in agreement with before we got married. To get into that practice, we've been mainly living off of his income since we got married, with some occasional assistance from me, which I've stopped completely as it functioned more of a crutch than a backup. I really liked the way she put that. Everything she said in this first paragraph is perfect. That's exactly how you should do it from a financial perspective if you do plan to stay home. That's brilliant, because it does become a crutch if you're using it and you're getting comfortable, getting used to using it, as opposed to keeping it there as a backup for emergencies or what have you, or even to just supplement when the time comes later and you really do have to live on one income. So she goes on about how she's in the transition of finishing grad school, getting a job within her field, and she'll be making anywhere from 100 to 130 a year. I plan to aggressively pay down student loans, continue to live off of his income, and all my paychecks go towards loans. He's at the beginning of his earning potential, $40,000 a year in the IT field, and the only place to go financially from here is up. In order to do that, he has to obtain a number of certifications in which he's been dragging his feet to do. And here's where the problem comes in, because everything really is fine up to that point, even though that sounds really shocking, the 100 to 130 a year. An IT, $40,000 is extremely low. IT people can make way more than that, and presumably he would over time. And if she's using that salary of hers to primarily pay off student loans, then they're not really going to feel it that much anyway in terms of their living expenses when she does stop. So just keep all that in mind. The problem is really with him, apparently. Now faced with the reality of being a financial provider, his position on being that sole provider has changed. He complains that it's too hard on him and the cost of living is too much, and thinks that I should financially assist now and in the future. We live in the South in a below average rent apartment. It's nothing fancy. We rarely eat out. I've put pen to paper, as you suggested, to show him how it wouldn't make financial sense for me to work, but he's not convinced. And then she kind of explains his background, in his 20s and how he didn't have any financial responsibilities. So having to go from 0 to 100 in a few years has been a big shift. I try to be supportive, but I'm not going to give up what's best for our family because he's struggling and refusing to do the hard work of improving his financial situation. I believe blah, 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 blah. Let's see. I'm wondering if I'm wasting my time on someone who claims he wants the same things in life, but isn't willing to do the hard work to get there. Your advice would be much appreciated. So this is something that really requires more of a coaching session to be able to answer here, only because there's more going on here. I don't know what his reasons are for dragging his feet, especially if he agreed with you in advance about what you were going to do. He needs to, follow through on that. So it's too simple it's too complicated of a situation to just answer, to simplify and answer here. But I thought other people would relate, because I hear, and of course I coach with people who have very, very similar circumstances. And at the end of the day, a lot of this, I mean, maybe most of it, comes down to fear. It's just fear. It's not like, is the marriage doomed? It's how are we going to get on the same page, and then B, what's the plan going to be to make this work? And then looking, playing the long game and looking out and saying, how are we going to reach this goal? And that's a financial conversation. And I truly believe, mostly with men in particular, when they can see it on pen and paper, it's they can bite their teeth into it. You know, it's like they just don't believe it, you know, especially if it's such a big shift from how you've been living. All the way she's describing it here is they've really been living mostly on his income. So I just don't know his side of the story. And so I'm not going to conjecture, but I'm reading it. I read it because I know a lot of you can relate. The finances are hands down the biggest problem in marriages, modern marriages, for a whole host of different reasons, having to do with completely shifting the quote unquote gender roles and responsibilities and women who are now out earning men and all of that. So it's the number one thing I deal with for sure. But anyway, just the only quick answer I can give for this in this kind of public way is, you know, are you wasting your time? No, but you do need more. You need to dig in more to be able to resolve this. And I think that that can be done. This is not, there's just much more that needs to be done before I can make some statement. I certainly wouldn't tell you to get divorced. I'm not going to do that. But anybody who's in this boat, I have on my coaching page, if you've never been to my website and seen my coaching options, I've got options for whether you're married or whether you're in a relationship, should I stay or should I go? Or if you're having a single specific issue in your marriage that you need resolved, I'm very good at helping people, even in one session, get right back on track. And then there's the packages, which have to do more with, you know, a lot of entrenched marital issues that goes on for more than obviously one session, but just throwing that out there for anybody who needs to hear it. And that's all I got for today. See you next time.